Again, it's good to be with you. It's been a couple weeks, not very long, but a couple of weeks. Whoops. And Pastor Bob has had me busy. I've been, to steal a line from Johnny Cash's song, I've been everywhere. It's been good. It has been. I was at Fairfax Nazarene, where they just installed Nathaniel Dean as their senior pastor. And that was a long time process. I was at Mount Carmel Nazarene, where they unexpectedly lost their pastor of 19 years. So I would ask that you guys would be in prayer for their church as well as they begin the long search for a senior pastor. They have a beautiful sanctuary I got to preach in, and I had a really good time out there. Good people, faithful people. And God will guide that. This morning, my message is entitled, Living a Surrendered Life. When I got saved, I went to the altar. I asked forgiveness for my sins and repented of a sinful lifestyle. I wanted to embrace the church world. I wanted to find my place. Be around godly people, listen to godly music, change the environment from where I came from to where I wanted to go. In that process, one of the things that I kind of gave myself a job to be a greeter. I started hanging out with greeters, and so I became a greeter for a little while. Springdale Nazarene has a wonderful greeter. His name is Tank. Tank's a funny guy. I was telling someone this morning, if you go to see Springdale Nazarene for the first time in your life and don't go back for 6 months, Tank will know who you are. He has got a heart to do that. When you greet, you ask people how they're doing, where they've been, how's things going. You get the typical answers, things are good, could be better, I woke up on the right side of the ground. All these same answers, all these same cliche statements. But there was a woman who attends Springdale Nazarene, and when I would greet her, the first time I greeted her, I asked her how she was doing. She said, I am blessed and highly favored. That stuck with me, still stick with me. I thought, man, there's something more to this. She is in a frame of mind to worship. She's come to church ready to go. But it's not something you can just do. It's something that you live. And when you see that kind of a life, that life of a Christian who is in the presence of God at all times, man, I'm telling you, you want to be around that Christian. You want to be around those people. I know that there's people in the world that have been in church and are no longer in church, and well, they were church hurt. Somebody said something wrong. Somebody hurt their feelings. And it happens. It does. And it's a shame. And there's some people who say, well, I'm a Christian, and the life that they live just doesn't show that. But when you're around that person who has that surrendered life, man, that is something that you just want to be around. Today we'll be in Romans chapter 12, being verse 1 and 2. This is a verse, these two verses I've heard preached several times, different messages, different ideas, different thoughts, but the message never changes. This is a letter to the Romans that Paul writes. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We come to the altar. We ask forgiveness of our sins. We turn and walk a different way. That's repentance. But there's a difference of repentance and transformation. Repentance is something we ask God to take something from us, and we put ourselves in places and positions and areas and environments that are wholesome, that are pleasing to God. Transformation is what happens when the Spirit is in you and takes over your life. There's a different person. You don't recognize that person. Unfortunately, what happens a lot of times is we go to the altar, then we ask God to forgive us of our sins, and we attend church every Sunday. We come in and we sit in the pews. We sing songs. We hear a sermon. We agree with what we hear. Then we go out Monday through Saturday, and it's a different life. And that's hard, because that's not the life God wants us to have. He says that he wants us to have life and have it to the full. We got to be in the Word. We got to be on our knees. We got to ask God for everything we need. Where we work, what we eat, what time we go to bed, what we watch on our televisions. This has to come from God. God's will before our will. A surrendered life. The people are watching. When you say, I'm a Christian, they're watching. They want to see. I watch it all the time because I'm interested to see when someone says, I'm a Christian. I want to see, does their words and their actions line up? Not very long ago, a young man went into a church during a Bible study, spent some time with some people, then pulled out a gun and shot and killed 9 individuals. And the world waited for a response. They just knew that the world would be upset, hurt. But the families of those lost loved ones came out and said that we forgive this boy and we pray for him. This is not the response the world was waiting for. This wasn't the response the world was expecting. Because darkness doesn't understand the light. We are to be the light in the world, at our workplaces, in our relationships, in our families. But we cannot do that if we aren't in the Word and on our knees and putting God's will first. You can't give away what you don't have. Recently, I've been reading a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. It's about a guy referred to as Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence lived 300 years ago, and he wanted a relationship with God like nothing he had ever experienced before. So he went into a monastery and, of all things, became a cook in the kitchen. But he desired to be in God's presence at all times. And there's nothing that was ever said. There's been nothing that was ever done that doesn't let us know that we can be in that presence and experience that very life ourselves, except us. We get in our own ways. We can't wait to get home and watch the football game. I'll even sit down in front of my TV and scroll through the week to see what exciting show I can set up on my DVR and record it. Man, where's that same energy for God? Can't wait to get up and read my Bible. His word comes to life if you allow it. Brother Lawrence, in his book, writes, to arrive at union with God, all one needs is a heart resolutely determined to apply itself to nothing but him, do nothing but for his sake, and to love him only. He also said, all things are possible to him who believes. They are less difficult to him who hopes. They are easier to him who loves, and they are easiest to him who perseveres in the practice of all three virtues. There's a discipline involved here. We have to discipline ourselves. Paul states it this way, die to self daily. Work out your own salvation. When we get on our knees and we pray and we ask forgiveness, it doesn't stop there. God can't work if you ain't working it. Jesus says that they will know their shepherd's voice. Well, if you ain't in the Word, you ain't on your knees, you're going to have a hard time distinguishing who is speaking into your mind, who is speaking into your heart. There's many Christians. There are Christians who grew up in church and never left. There are Christians who came to church for a little while, then left, then came back. And then there's some who didn't know anything about church, but through crisis, something drastic in their life happens and brings them to church. But if all we ever do is repent and don't allow the Lord to transform us, I think Paul speaks of this when he talks about the difference of drinking milk and eating meat. There is something so special when you're in the presence of God. And it's not just Sunday mornings. It's Monday mornings. It's Tuesday mornings. It's Wednesday mornings. Every day when we wake up, we make a decision to follow Christ that day. We're not going to be perfect people. And for anyone to think that we are doesn't know what this journey is about. But we do have to be willing to surrender every day, sometimes every hour. There was a time in my life where I had to be right all the time. And it wasn't just about me being right. It was about you knowing that I was right. You had to not walk away from the conversation until you fully understood just how wrong you were. Talk about authoring of the book, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. That's not attractive for anyone. And to be honest with you, it's a hard life to live. Because the friends you find that you have only are your friends because they're afraid of you. Jesus never did anything like this. This isn't how Jesus taught. But to be in the presence of Jesus, to put it this way, Chuck Swindoll describes people like this, how they have a winsome attitude. When people were around Jesus, they wanted to be around him all the time. They wanted to hear him talk. They wanted to hear him pray. They just wanted to be in the presence of God. Well, that's what we're supposed to be as a church. I got into the habit because when I went back to church, I had a lot of sin and a lot of burdens. And I couldn't wait for somebody to ask me how I was doing. Now, that person had no idea what they were going to hear when they asked. But I got in the habit of when I'm in church to look at the people's faces when they walk through the door. Because you can see the pain in their eyes. You can see the weight of the world on their shoulders. And if you think back, you can remember what it was like for you. And all I wanted was for someone to ask me how I was doing. This is being in the presence of God. Brother Lawrence used the word hope. One of my teachers gave me the definition of hope. See, we make statements like, I hope things get better. I hope tomorrow's better than today. But that's just wishing. Hope is a vision for a better tomorrow that causes a change in me in the here and now. This life doesn't last forever here on earth. I know people who are afraid to lose things that they have here on earth. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe not. But I've not seen a hearse yet pulling a U-Haul behind it. You can't take it with you. The world lost a great celebrity a couple weeks, and the world came together for a moment in time. The first thing I thought of when I heard of it, where was his heart? Because money doesn't mean a thing. When it comes to the end, you came to the world naked and you will leave naked. Money, stature, prestige, they don't last. But a surrendered life lasts forever. But it's on us. I've heard people say, well, I don't understand the Bible when I read it. Pray first. He doesn't give you a plan and not let you know what that plan is. He doesn't make it impossible for you to understand Scripture. But you got to devote yourself to it. It's vision. Are your eyes focused on the world or are your eyes focused on God? It's where your heart is, there lies your treasure. It's not an easy life. It's not. And God never said it would be. You will have trials. You will have tribulation. But when the storm is coming, and you know in your heart of hearts who is waiting to guide you through, man, and then it's just an action. Then it's just passing through. There's nothing on this earth to be afraid of unless you don't have God. If you don't have Jesus, and I mean fully surrendered to Christ. I was reminded of that last night. I was listening to some music and thought about Christ on the cross. He didn't just do that for one day during the week. He did that for eternity. Does it mean so little to us that we can't just give a little time every day to Him? You can do all the right things. You can give an unmeasurable amount of money to the church. You can show up every day the doors are open. But if you are not totally surrendered and committed to Him, you're missing out. Paul said that I was a Pharisee among Pharisees from the tribe of Benjamin. And I consider it all rubbish when it comes to Christ. He doesn't desire you to be successful in life if it means shortchanging Him. There's nothing in this world you can do without Him. But it says, I can do all things through Christ who loves me. Saying those words is one thing. Knowing them to be true is something different. My hope is that you're in the Word, that you're in prayer, that you're experiencing the presence of God no matter where you are. There is a life beyond the one we're living now. And every day the world gives you another reason not to believe. But when you believe and you're in the Word and in prayer and in the presence of God all the time, you can give them the reason of why to believe. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13 says this, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." James 4, 8 says this, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." God knows what's in your heart. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what scares you. He knows what concerns you. If you're expecting to be perfect, let me just tell you, it's just not going to happen. That's why he tells us, take captive your thoughts. He knows. I had a conversation with a guy not too long ago, and we were talking about this very subject. And I said, you know, your spouse is supposed to be your best friend. They know everything about you. Usually you can finish one another's thoughts. But if we're honest with ourselves, there's things that creep into our minds that should scare us to our very core. We have a natural bent towards evil. And only a surrendered life to God can that be removed. When those thoughts come into our mind, we can plead the name of Jesus. We can focus our thoughts on him. Jesus was tempted, and he went to Scripture every time. And he overcame the temptation. That's a surrendered life. You're going to face temptation. But what you do when that temptation comes, that depends on where you're at in your walk. Some of us will fall to temptation. But Jesus loves you still and will forgive you. But man, it is a huge victory when you begin to overcome those temptations because you've quoted Scripture in your heart. You prayed when you struggled. The things you worry about, the things you're concerned about, your kids, your lost friends. I'm telling you, when you have peace in your heart from a totally surrendered life, it's like nothing you've ever experienced in your life before. I like to get quiet in my car before I go to work. I sit in my parking lot in the car and just listen. I know people have said that they have heard the voice of God, but I know what's in here, and I know what he directs me, and I know where he guides me, and I know when I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be, and I know when I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing. That isn't conscience. That isn't morals. That's God trying to protect me. In this time in our culture, being so divisive, it's easy to pick one side over another. But a totally surrendered life will find peace in anything and everything. Because we don't think of things from a temporal view. I'm just passing through is what I tell people all the time at work. You guys are wrecking this joint. I want to go home. I want to be with Christ. But while I'm here, I can have that. You can share that life with your friends. Without saying a word, they're going to know. I've had people give me a hard time that, but when they're going through it, whatever it is for them, they will come and find me. One-on-one, they will want to talk to me. And it's not that I'm all that smart, because I'm not. Anything good comes out of this mouth is because of God. He's put you here for a reason. He's put you here not because you show up to church on Sunday, but because you've gone out in the world and you shared hope with the lost. But you cannot give away what you don't have. You've got to be in the Word, and you've got to be on your knees. And I'm telling you, this is an obligation. This is having life and having it to the full. To experience the presence of God. Recently, I was in prayer in my room. Nothing heavy, just spending time with God. And I could literally feel his hands on my back to the point I did not want to raise my head. You've heard that song, I Can Only Imagine. Will I dance before Jesus? Or will I bow? I don't think I could raise my head to be in the presence of God. I spoke at Mount Orb a couple weeks ago, as I shared, and I'm reminded of the woman who wept on Jesus' feet and wiped her tears off his feet with her hair. There's nothing in Scripture to say that Jesus ever spoke to her. Simply being in the presence of God. A.W. Tozer writes it like this: we're to be small mirrors of Christ to a world. Reflect Christ to them that need him. Peter writes in his gospel, repeating the words that we read in Deuteronomy, be holy, for I am holy. Just saying I'm holy doesn't mean anything if my actions don't line up with my words. You'll know. You'll see. But if we can find ourselves in the presence of God all the time, the world's just not that bad. You wake up with a joy in your heart, a peace inside of you that withstands all understanding. This is the promise. This is the life he wants for you. The easy thing is to walk away. To believe that you have control of your own life. It's just not so. The only person who has control is God. And everything that has happened has been ordained by God. My prayer for you is this. Dig into the Word. Some days you're going to be tired. But your salvation isn't dependent on your emotions. It better not be. This is a life. A life that we chose when we asked God to forgive us our sins. We chose to be Christ followers and chase after Him. And I'm telling you now, there is not a downside anywhere. Anywhere. So whatever you struggle with, and you're going to struggle. Whatever your worries are, and you're going to worry. But when you have a totally surrendered life to Him, man, the peace is just unreal. I can face all things with Christ in me. The next couple weeks I'll be here preaching. And you guys are searching for a pastor, and if your decision is what it is, as long as it's God's will, not yours, regardless of anything else, you ask for God's will above and all things. He's chosen your pastor already. His sheep know His voice. So listen to Him and not anything else. And I will pray right alongside with you. I hope you guys have a good week. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, it is good to be in Your presence all the time. Father, You speak to Yours. You love us. You died for us. Came down here and showed us how to live a life surrendered. It's not impossible. Only we get in our way. Father, I pray today that you would reveal in us whatever needs to be removed, whatever we need to surrender, whatever we need to give to You. Father, my hope for this church is that they are surrendered. Surrendered to You, Father. Let them feel that joy and that peace and that comfort. Be still and know that You are God. I ask that You would go with us this week. And throughout the week, as we're in our Word and we're thinking on Your Word and the prayer on our lips, Father. And no matter what comes at us, no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what device Satan uses, that we look to You and we walk away with a smile on our face, knowing that You have already won the battle. Father, thank You for all that You do for us, all that You give us, how much love You have for us. And let us be contagious to those around us. Father, I ask all these things in Your precious and holy and matchless name. Amen. Thank you.